The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Stephen Ambrose brings you up to speed on what the future holds as he explores the latest technology as it impacts our lives.
Well, welcome to Tech Talk right here on Hi FM. And as usual, we are going to talk all about gadgets, gizmos. And this week, we're going to discuss the recent WWDC, the Apple Developer Conference, where this year, interestingly, and I'll comment on it later, but the trajectory is all about speed and stability. Nothing incredibly new, but we'll go through some really cool updates to iOS, some major changes to the whole AI backend of Apple, and we'll discuss a little bit how that's going to impact you and I going forward. Well, like everything, AI is impacting everything going forward. So we'll chat a little bit about that. But for now, we're going to get stuck straight into my usual gadget of the week to start. And I think it's a great idea just to start with a gadget. You can make a little note if you're looking for such a gadget and it's something that you want to get. And I have been a long-term fan of JBL and JBL Audio. Now, JBL is an American brand. They were some of the very first little history lesson, but one of the very first speaker manufacturers in America. And they're now currently owned by Harman International, which is owned by Samsung. Samsung quietly got their fingers in all sorts of pies all over the world. They run pretty much autonomously, and JBL Pro Audio and JBL Home Audio and Car Audio are quite a big deal. And they've extended, like most major consumer brands in that space, they've grown into sort of ultra-portable Bluetooth speakers, headphones, a whole lot of sort of the digital modern listener territory, where everything's Bluetooth, everything's connected via something or other. Music is streamed. The Walkmans and other assorted physical audio formats have long faded away. I mean, they're just so mechanical by today's standards. And yet with decent internet, you can stream even better quality digital music to anything you want. Now, the JBL Go Ultra Portable Bluetooth speaker is a cool little speaker. Played with it, listened to it. And in typical fashion, although it's a very Chinese-made, mass-market Bluetooth speaker, what they have not done, and I think this is where the driver technology and the technology that JBL have perfected in the pro audio space, where powered speakers have long been 90% you've heard JBL powered speakers if you've been to any event where they've had outdoor powered speakers. And the sound quality is really, really good. I'm a bit of an audiophile, if you haven't picked that up over the years. And I really enjoy good quality sound. And I find that the JBL portable speakers tend to be more musical than many others. I'm not a big fan of any sort of speaker that's got just the like boom tizz effect. All you hear is a sort of a bass line with some odd going on, and hard to listen to the music. Well, the JBLs don't sound like that. They're clean, they're smooth, and they're pretty punchy considering it's a tiny little box. But what's cool about this little one? One, its pricing is between $750 and R1,200. When I look online, you can check it out on Take A Lot, Macro, you know, any one of the major online retailers. And it's available from pretty much anywhere. So check it out. It's waterproof. It's dustproof. It's got ambient lighting. You can pair two to make stereo and the latest Bluetooth 6, so it's quick and fast. And on that note, we're going to have a quick break for our sponsors. I'll be back with a live read and some news from our sponsors straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 Hi FM.
Well, welcome back. And I see our time got a little muddled here. Normally, I only speak about the gadget between now and around about 20 past where we talk TikTok Cafe, but I'll wrap it up quite quickly. Just as I was saying, my gadget of the week this week is the JBL Go 5 Ultra Portable Bluetooth speaker. Perhaps I wasn't entirely clear. I was talking too much about JBL as a brand and how I like their sound, etc. But this particular little unit is small. It's really small, 101 by 77 by 43 millimeters. So it's 4.3 centimeters thick. And it's light, less than 300 grams. You can put it anywhere. And yet it's got a powerful little amplifier, 10 hours of battery life. And it is fully water, well, not fully waterproof. I wouldn't play it underwater, but it's waterproof and dustproof. You can leave it out in the rain. You can get it splashed next to the pool. A little bit wintry right now, so probably not so much rain and not so much pools. But still, it's also got some ambient lighting, which you either enjoy or you don't. I don't think that changes anything for me. And it comes with Bluetooth 6, which I mentioned. Now, Bluetooth 6, the current Bluetooth 4 and 5 pairing, little hit and miss sometimes, slow occasionally, and loses connection now and then. The latest version 6, which all the newest phones are starting to incorporate, really makes it easy. You find the device, you touch on it, and it connects. It's clean, it's simple, and it's just the way technology should connect. It's also got a 7-band equalizer if you download the JBL app. Obviously, it has an app. And with that app, you can customize the sound, you can fiddle around a bit, and you can do a lot of different things. Now, it's great for the kids. It's great for you. It's just a simple, easy, decent-sounding little unit. And interestingly, once you pair them, I tried it. I put two into stereo mode in the store. It wasn't very cool of me. But anyway, played it quite loud. And it really was very impressive. It more than doubles the sound. It creates a nice sound stage. And for larger rooms or parties or whatever you want to do, it's the cheapest way to get a really cool, easy to use, easy to run. You can plug it in and leave it powered or just run it off battery. Plays like an absolute win. Now, on that note, I'm going to have a quick live read, and then I'm going to start talking about our friends before the next break, our neck for our sponsors. I'm going to start talking about what happened at WWDC, because I want to create some context around what is going on in the AI on mobile space and how rapidly this market is shifting and how quickly one or two major players are emerging as the major players. So just to not interrupt the next segment with a live read, this Thursday and Friday means fresh magic at the Family Bakehouse. It's golden challahs, babkas, biscuits and cakes baked in small batches with no shortcuts. It's perfect for Shabbat or the weekend, anytime. Find the Family Bakehouse at Genesis, Aurox and selected distribution centers and enjoy. Now, moving on to WWDC and Apple. We'll speak about the specifics of iOS 27. That's where we're at. That will come out in September, along with the latest iPhone 18, which is also sort of touted to come out with some really interesting new features in September. They also dropped a hint about the foldable one. Now, this is the first time Apple's done so. They didn't mention it directly. It wasn't, it's not on any product roadmap that you can see, but there have been massive rumors that Apple is working on a foldable iPhone, one that'll give a screen way over 7 inches and really bring it into contention against some of the Samsungs and certainly some of the Chinese manufacturers who've been doing foldable phones for years. And the latest phone, I mean, the original ones were really problematic. I remember the first Samsung, the screen didn't last 2 minutes, delaminated. It was actually terrible. The crease was bad. At the time, it was just wow. I mean, foldable screens were quite a big deal. To roll forward 6-7 generations down the road, and you're looking at screens with a barely perceptible fold in the middle, extremely good ruggedness, waterproof, all the rest. So even as much as I must say that I've got a version of the foldable 3, I think it was the Samsung, and the screen is delaminated and it's just hardly, it works, but it's hardly usable anymore. So a lot of work has gone into that space, and now Apple are hinting at coming out with their version of it. We'll have to wait and see. But more importantly, I think was some recent announcements around Apple Intelligence and how Apple Intelligence is going to be managed through the various applications and how it works. And what has been happening, again, to give some larger context to the overall world of AI, is that the big AI players, and we're talking about OpenAI, we're talking about ChatGPT, we are also talking about our friends at Grok, and of course Gemini at Google. Now, those have become the dominant players within the AI space, and agentic AI and all the other bits and pieces that fit into that have been developing at breakneck speed across all these platforms. Microsoft worked with OpenAI, have now sort of geared back a little. Apparently, they're starting to remove a lot of their AI features that are built into the operating system and allowing you to choose which AIs you want to use, where you want to use it. Apple, on the other hand, has totally turned the corner in terms of where it's going and what it's doing. It tried to develop its own AI platform almost entirely from scratch for two really good reasons. One, Apple has always prided itself on its ability to vertically integrate absolutely every element of its design. So from the creation of the hardware and the chips that go into the hardware, creating an iPhone is one thing, but creating the actual semiconductors and underlying platforms within the phone itself is quite a big deal. And they've highly successfully created their own processor set, their own modem and radio sets, as long as many, many other proprietary internal components that give them complete control over the device from the bare metal all the way through to the finished goods. And obviously, screens, not something they make. They get them from Samsung, LG, and many other manufacturers around the world. But essentially, they have become fully vertically integrated. And then when you layer the software on top of that, they built it, they designed it, and they've refined it over, well, iOS 27, although there was a big jump in the middle. But it's many, many years since 2007, I think it was, when the first iPhone came out, that software, iOS, and now iPad OS, and even OS X, and everything else that they've developed, has been their own creation, and they've refined it because they deeply understand the environment it runs in, the hardware. So the hardware and the software has worked extremely well to make it very, very fluid, very, very simple. They could maximize, instead of having a ton of RAM inside, they could work with far lower RAM because of the efficiencies. And this overall built an ecosystem within the Apple space that was very hard to beat. At the same time, Google with Android has been building for everybody. There are hundreds of different processor combinations, modem combinations, hardware combinations, hundreds if not thousands of manufacturers around the world, all making their own little recipe for what a mobile phone would look like. The vast majority, except in China, based on the Google Android ecosystem, and along with many other standardized work, but still each one, like Windows, which also relied on thousands of manufacturers of hardware, It had certain compromises. Things weren't quite as slick, quite as smooth, quite as optimized. Each one had a tweak in order to make things work. Well, the Apple finally, I think, have run out of roadmap, run out of road or runway, whichever way you want to put it, when AI started. They tried valiantly over the last 2 years to stay on top of the AI ecosystem and to build it out in a way that makes sense. And recently, they announced that they are now going to be working with Gemini, aka Google, in order to really bring their AI right up to scratch. Because in many respects, the Android phones were leaping way ahead. And before we get stuck into all of that, and that is the context of the WWDC and where I see all of this going, we're going to have a quick break for our sponsors. And then I'll be back with Tech Talk Cafe, and we're going to talk all about the developer conference, iOS 27, and some of the cool new stuff that's coming out of that. I'll be back straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And Tech Talk Cafe, as usual, we discuss topics that are really interesting and pretty, as I said last week in the show, these days, this time of the year is full of these developer conferences. Everyone's winding up the year in the Northern Hemisphere. The summer is rolling in, and people are getting ready for the beaches of Ibiza and wherever else they go because, well, why not? You're not going to sit inside because there is real weather in the north. In the south where we live, well, not so much. Winter is cold and a bit miz, but then a month later it's windy and hot and off we go. However, the Apple Developer Conference this year really focused very strongly on two core elements, and very little truly new stuff came out of it. But they announced everything that's coming this year: new Siri AI, iOS 27, Apple Intelligence, and a little bit more hints at hardware. As I mentioned, they're talking about, there was a brief sort of tease around a foldable device, and there is a lot of rumors around some of the new formats in the Mac OS on the Mac space, the Mac laptop space. And Apple tend to cluster these things in very discernible ways. The end of the year, September, is all about mobile, all about iOS, all about the changes that are coming from that. But there were two clear themes coming out of WWDC 2026. One, it was to catch up and to improve the speed of everything that's going on. One thing that was announced, which I think will be pretty good for many, and I have one sitting on my desk right now, an iPhone 11 could not fully update to, or it had a special version of iOS 26, and it didn't really get a full update. Well, now it's being included in the iOS 27 update. In fact, it was promised that this will be the most, or rather this update will reach the most amount of Apple devices ever. And I think that's really a good thing. And the reason is they have cleaned up somehow the code. They've cleaned up the system to make the phone or the devices that you put it on really work extremely quickly. Now, I've installed it on a phone, on an Apple TV, and I'm busy with the iPads right now just to get a sense. And instantly, although there's not much you can see visually, there's definitely an improvement in speed, the time that your apps come to pop up. When you move between apps, there's a distinct improvement in speed. Also on the Apple TV, it just seems to be a little bit more responsive. Things work a little bit cleaner, and things work really a lot smoother overall. The second and most important thing that they sort of introduced, and all the detail was in the actual deep work there after the keynote presentation. But still, at the keynote, they gave a really good insight into what they were going to do and how they're going to demo it. But the other element, as I said, was Apple Intelligence. Now, it's very clever. AI, Apple Intelligence, great play on words. But Apple are not going it alone. They're working very closely with Gemini in the back end, and they've turned the system on its head in a completely different way. Now, there's also a huge wrinkle with Europe and their new digital act. So it will not be available for the foreseeable future in Europe. Luckily, South Africa doesn't ascribe to the same level of legal stuff as the European Union. But strange that a company as big as Apple didn't have this sorted before they went to press. So the new Apple Intelligence features, the new Siri, which it's all based around, as its main interface to Apple Intelligence. Siri has always been a bit like a dumb six-year-old. It's pretty useful, and I mentioned the word, so now my phone is listening to me and flashing and reading all sorts of stuff. Who knows? I'll leave that alone for now. But Siri was not exactly the smartest interface, and as AI has grown across all these other platforms, using any of those on a mobile device, specifically and the Gemini, the voice recognition and the voice ability and the responses had become so good that using the various Apple AI. See, I'm getting Apple Intelligence sort of confused with AI, but using those platforms really highlighted how far Siri had fallen behind the mainstream. Well, iOS 27 is set to completely change that. iOS 27 and Siri are getting their own app. So Siri will no longer simply be a voice agent, but there's a complete app. In fact, you can try it now with some of the currents. If you've downloaded the beta, just double tap on the bottom of the screen and it'll pop up a keyboard and a complete iOS or Siri app. which will show you that you can see what searches you've done. There's a lot more information. So as part of the whole Siri AI growth, you'll be able to link it. You can change it. You can use OpenAI. You can use any one of the various agents that are approved through Apple. Again, this ties into what's going to be happening around the Digital Act in Europe and in the Netherlands and wherever else you are. And it's limiting things considerably. But essentially, they have now built AI completely into the fundamental underpinnings of iOS. So the AI interface will have access to all your apps. You can choose them. You can actually set which ones it shouldn't look into. It will have cross-contextual knowledge of what is going on in your apps. And now this is something that Gemini has been doing for a long time. I spoke about the new Fitbit Air last week, and it comes with the Gemini Google Health app. And in that app, it has visibility into your emails, has visibility into any one of the health apps that you run, so food apps, activity apps, you name it, that run on your phone. At the same time, it's looking into everything that you do in the Google ecosystem. So if you're uploading certain stuff, you're using Gemini AI for informational purposes, it's pulling all that information into the health app and using it to coach you in a very relevant and topical way. Now, that sounds incredibly invasive, because think about it. You send some emails to your doctor. Potentially, that information could be used to advise you around health. You send emails to a friend, or you make notes, or you WhatsApp someone. If AI has access to absolutely every bit of information around you, on the positive side, it absolutely can build a profile and give you advice based on the information that it has that is extremely personalized and extremely relevant to your current situation. However, on the negative side, maybe there's some information that you do not want to share, or it's not something that you would like to have linked to other information for whatever reason. I can think of a million different scenarios in that space. But with all that information, the AI is becoming incredibly capable and when you link that to the AI abilities of sort of unfettered access to information across the world and the ability to filter, read, contextualize, and relate that information to anything you ask or need or want at speeds that no human can even vaguely get to. I mean, yes, a lot of that information, if you'd done some really clever website trawling and you'd read enough articles and you've gone through all the Reddit feeds and everything else out there, you could probably build up a very similar sort of advice base or information base that you want. But that would take you days, if not weeks. It also needs a level of mapping and organization that top researchers struggle to maintain. And all of this is happening with one simple typed, I'm looking to improve my electrolyte balance because I'm feeling a little busy during squash. And it'll race off. Oh, it sees per your calendar. You play 3 times a week in the afternoon. You should do this. You should do that. You should try this. You should do that. You could try this product and you can, this and whatever. And it also notices you have high or low blood pressure. So you should be careful of this and that. It is mind-bogglingly comprehensive and accurate within a narrow sort of phase. And the danger, really, of that is that you tend to believe that this thing is omnipotent in a way. It's teaching you and telling you stuff that, you should know. And it does and should not ever replace true medical advice or any form of advice that is not curated through true human intelligence. But it is that good. It is that smart that 98% of the time it'll probably be spot on, and no doctor, sports coach could give you better advice or more comprehensive advice without using similar platforms to assist them. But again, philosophically, that's a discussion for another time. But with Google Gemini under the hood, the new update will make Siri way, way smarter. I'm on the wait list. Some unknown reason before I can get the full Siri AI experience on iOS 27 beta. I'll get that in the next few days, I hope, and then I'll be able to report back how really good it is. But everything that I've seen and everything that was demonstrated, it's definitely the next generation of Apple intelligence. It's worked and based on all the information that Gemini has. And apart from a platform like Grok, which has the whole Twitter base of millions of social media information, as well as the entire web to work with, Google has probably a slightly greater advantage. It's got all the access to all the people who use the Google ecosystem, be it for mail, be it for whatever it is, as well as all the searches and all the intelligence that you've built up over the years. You do realize that every single thing you've ever done on Google, if you were logged in, has been stored and somehow recorded against your profile since day dot. So since the first Google search you did to today, however many years that's been, Google has been building a profile in the background of where you are, what you're doing, your navigation apps, absolutely everything. If you use Waze, if you use Google Navigation, if you use Gmail, it doesn't matter. All that information is now building a profile. In many ways, Google knows you better than your wife, I'm sure. And it's quite incredible how much that information used carefully within the AI interface can feed and advise. Now, Apple, through their association with Google, is going to bring all of that stuff, as well as all the information that you've stored within the Apple ecosystem, to bear. And the biggest change will be that this intelligence will be the face of the platform-wide intelligence and everything. So absolutely very, very fundamental change without anything truly informational going on. So it's not a completely new operating system. They've definitely scaled and fiddled around with the liquid glass interface. You can remove certain elements, you can improve other elements. The apps have certainly refined to some extent. As I said, it seems a lot faster, it seems a lot cleaner. There's full screen homepage widgets that are coming that'll be quite cool. I've tried that. You also can separate volume for alarms, timers, and alerts. It used to be one volume for everything. This is actually quite cool. So you can have certain things that you don't want to be bothered with. Every time a mail arrives, your phone goes ding, 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 ding. You can get rid of that separately, whereas the phone still rings. Otherwise, it was off or on. And there's a lot of teeny tweaks to the weather app and all sorts of upcoming events stuff. And also, well, the one other element really was some really incredible AI improvements to the camera app. Now, again, the AI base was Apple's only one in the current Siri. The new Siri is using the Gemini base. And the Gemini ability for manipulation of graphics and creation of videos. So one really cool little feature that I've played with, you can adjust the perspective of a video, of a picture. So if you take a picture and you happen to be standing too high above something, and then everyone looks like a flattened little dwarf, all you can do is tap on fix it on the little button that says, adjust. And you can literally, by just scrolling up, you can change the perspective as if the camera was moving from above to below, completely changing. So from little dwarfs to big giraffes, you can change anything. And it works in real time. You can see it happening on the screen, and you can fix even old pictures that were taken prior to the iOS. So it's not dependent on the hardware or anything to do with current technology. It can work and use the AI to fill in the background and to reformat the picture. It is absolutely remarkable, because you often do that. You take a picture and you've got these silly little, it just doesn't look right, and you can change it and you can save it. It's pretty much insane. So along with many other controls, there's a lot of parental stuff that was discussed, not particularly relevant for me. My kids are all grown and doing their own thing. But if you've got kids and they've got phones, there's a lot of stuff you can do to keep things down and keep things controlled. Also, a big, big, big change around the AI dictation apps. Again, Gemini, the Siri and the backend for Apple was not great, and the Gemini interface certainly is exceptional at that. So what you can do, and it worked for me the other day, went to a meeting, people were talking Chinese and English. Well, the transcription app was translating on the fly, so it had a full English transcript of everything, which is quite cool. I know there's translation apps that can do that in real time on audio as well, but it was just cool to have a full translation, whether people were speaking English or Chinese, which is really, really cool. But the last thing that I want to discuss before we run out of time on this sort of segment, the public beta, one thing I will mention, the developer beta is available now. So if you're a developer and there's a way, if you Google it or whatever you, or AI it, it'll tell you exactly how to get a developer profile on your phone. So if you're dead keen, you can try now. It's pretty stable. It's certainly a very high level beta. It's not one that is got very obvious flaws and issues. There are, and I think you have to accept that on any beta software. But generally, the public beta will come out sometime in July, and then everybody can get a shot at working with it. But the current beta is pretty stable and pretty interesting to figure out what's going on. But as I said, the one issue, and I think I'm on Apple's side in this whole story at the moment, Apple have said that because they've built the AI access so deeply into the operating system, so fundamentally able to have access to absolutely everything within your own Apple ecosystem, that they have to make security an absolute priority. Your information, your playlists, your lists of contacts, your confidential information, your health information has to be protected at all costs. It's not something that you can have just sort of accessed by any platform at any time. Now, the Digital Act in Europe insists that if Apple do something in their ecosystem, then everybody has the right to do the same. So if Apple AI has access to all the fundamental APIs and cross-platform information that sits within your phone and your app ecosystem, etc., then any other AI should have the same access. So they treat Apple AI not as part of the fundamental part or building block of the operating system. They treat it as an app. And they're saying if that app has access, well, then every other app has to have access. So any Chinese or even some faulty little crazy AIs will have access. So they've stopped any phone that's running in Europe from accessing that ecosystem until they work this out. So there's some big changes and some interesting stuff coming. But for most of us, we will have access to the full AI ecosystem from Apple with security in the next short while. And it's pretty mind-blowing. So a very, very important update from Apple. I think it certainly equalizes the market. And on that note, I'm afraid we've got to have a quick break for our sponsors once again. I'll be back straight after this with some news and some other useful information in the tech space straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And before we get stuck into the next segment, the Johannesburg Philharmonic Orchestra. Now, this is the real thing. This is real live music played by real human beings, no AI involved. So it's well worth a visit. The Johannesburg Philharmonic Orchestra presents the Winter Symphony Season, featuring performances by international artists and well-loved South African musicians. The programs include masterpieces by Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, Mendelssohn, and many, many more. The season runs from the 4th of June, so it's begun, until the 25th of June, every Thursday evening at the Linda Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. These superb concerts are not to be missed. Single and season ticket concert tickets are available right now through Quicket, or you can go to the JPO, so it's just jpo.co.za, and book them directly. Highly recommended, great way to spend a cool winter's evening listening to some amazing music. And the Linda is, sound is good, the orchestras are great. So on that note, we will then move on to just last little wrap around the whole iOS thing and what's going on around that. Just also Tim Cook, there's a little bit of news. He's resigning. He's leaving in November. This was his last WWDC. And it'll be very interesting to see how Apple changes as it did when Steve Jobs left and he took over. So Tim Cook is, it was his goodbye. He told everyone he'd had a wonderful time, which he has. He's really done amazing things, taken Apple from, you know, where it was to where it is today as one of the major tech companies in the world. So it's really very, very interesting. But Siri AI and the whole intelligence and how everything on your device works, that is not only coming to iOS 27, a ton, as they've been doing over the last little while, macOS and iPadOS, as well as the tvOS, is going to fundamentally shift to the same level of integration. As I mentioned earlier, that Microsoft are winding back some of the integration within the operating system within Windows. But it seems that the integration of a fully, deeply embedded AI platform underneath absolutely everything you do across your digital operating system device ecosystem is becoming a big, big, big deal. The two pillars were speed, catching up, fixing a lot of the little changes that have happened. But I think the AI ecosystem and the way it's been implemented had forced a fundamental rewrite of how the operating system actually interacted with everything. And I think it's given iOS an ability to clean things up in a way and to make it, in typical Apple fashion, extremely easy to use. You don't have to think about it. Things will just be smarter, more intuitive, easier to use, more informative where necessary, along with a lot of the non-agentic. They haven't really mentioned that in terms of running agentic AI. I think that's a separate operation within this type of ecosystem. But certainly they've made it, again, in typical Apple fashion, just slicker, easier to use, and simpler with deep, deep integration, even using an external AI provider like Gemini within their own ecosystem. So I think this has been a very non-exciting on paper, but fundamental revamp of the iOS ecosystem. And it's something that a lot of people still tell me, should they upgrade, shouldn't they? Right now, do nothing, just stick with what's there. If you're a real gizmo gadget like gadget guy like myself, you can download the beta. The public beta will be out in July, which will broaden out to most people. And you can get a glimpse of where this is all going and how it all works. Hopefully, the wait list on the new Siri will be gone shortly, and I'll be able to report back on how well it works and how much smarter it is than the current six-year-old that really misunderstands 90% of what I say. And I've set it to South African English, doesn't listen. Maybe I'm not South African English enough for it. Who knows? But that's the story around the whole WWDC. A lot of detail, a lot of stuff going on. Oh, and one of my listeners just WhatsApped me, wanted to know what I was talking about the JBL. It's called the JBL Go 5 Ultra Portable Waterproof Speaker. So if you just Google JBL Go 5 Ultra, you'll probably pick it up on any one of the Takealots or anywhere. And as I said, great little device. There are more expensive ones, the Flip 7, the Extreme 5. So there's quite a good range. And as I said, I do like the JBL sound. I do like the way they work. So it's well worth having a little go at them. So back to the news and everything else. One somewhat disturbing, and this has been happening more and more, which is really, really a challenge around what is going on in the world today. Avbob, some people may not use it, but they're a major major insurer, had a security breach. They've called it a cybersecurity incident, which bothers me, on Monday, 8th of June. Now, here's where it bothers me. They cannot confirm whether it's a ransomware attack, which is pretty obvious if it is so, or a data breach, and they're busy investigating it, which doesn't make me feel very comfortable. Again, there are so many breaches of so many platforms across the market, and it all boils down to one simple thing. You are probably going to get more and more phone calls in the daily plethora of weird phone calls that you get of people asking you stuff and saying they have knowledge of stuff that about you that seems like it could only come from a trusted source. So if you've got an account at a company and they phone you and say they're phoning from that company, are you Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so? And do you do this? And have you got that? And what? And it just sounds so compelling. And then they say, no, well, please confirm. So we've got to check your identity. Just give us your information on this and that. You are going down a very slippery slope. And no disrespect to anybody. These guys are incredibly good. Their scripts are very carefully worded to build confidence, build trust, extract the information from you. So please be extremely careful about giving your information or any additional information, no matter how much they seem to know about you, even as far as your ID number, your account number, information like this. If they phone you and start asking you for anything regarding your account and information of that sort, politely decline and say, you're terribly busy. I will phone the bank, the insurer, the retailer, whomever, directly as soon as I get back to my desk where I can check all my information. And trust me, if it's an hour delay and it's real, it won't make any difference at all. But if it's not real and they're extracting your information, you may not hear anything for weeks. But that information put together with all the other information they have on you will result in some form of data breach. Either they'll do an identity swap and use that somewhere, or they'll directly take money out of your bank account and do something that is really not in your best interest. So the best trick, if anyone phones you, no matter how convincing they are, no matter how much information they have about you or about what you do or whatever it is, tell them politely decline to proceed with any interview any further, no matter if it's the fraud division and there's things going on, doesn't matter what it is. And then as soon as you can, phone your bank, your provider, your mobile phone, whoever, phone them directly on one of their authorized numbers, get through to their fraud or accounts department and discuss what was asked. Oh, I was told there's some activity on my account, they need information. If it's true, they will help you and you'll probably get it sorted out. If it's not true, you will hear straight away, oh no, we never called you. We don't have any problem. Everything's cool on my account. And on that note, I think we have a quick ad break and I'll be back straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And before we wrap up, I just have a couple of little hints and tips. Here's one podcast, actually, and this is just a shout out to a good friend of mine, Aki Anastasia. And he's got a podcast or a show called What's Next? And he's in session 14 of it, or season 14. He's become quite the star. But this week I was listening to a really interesting one around mobile surveillance and everything to do with mobile surveillance and security systems using AI, and how much AI has changed the whole area around digital surveillance and things like that. So you can go to mybroadband.co.za, and he does it in collaboration with them. And it's just a great way to catch up on detailed interviews with experts in the field. And it brings a lot of interesting information to the forefront. And as usual, he's a great interviewer, and he does a great job at getting this technical information out of people in a way that's easy to understand. But AI surveillance is definitely becoming the next generation. I know we're talking about security around breaches and cybersecurity, but AI surveillance is part of the whole security setup, and so much of it is taken totally for granted. And when you understand what is possible through cloud native practices and AI surveillance, and all you need is a camera and a connection to the internet, and you can just find out, along with recognition of number plates, so when you get to a gate, let's say your own gate or even your door, it recognizes your number plate or recognizes your car and or your face for that matter, and opens the door. So surveillance and how it works in tech, and how cameras and various sort of surveillance technologies can completely change the way that you work, the way that you operate. It's just it's something I actually was looking at for the show today, but that's where I came across this particular podcast, and truly very interesting. So check those out. It's on what's next dot mybroadband.co.za, and there are series going all the way from 1 to 14. So there's a ton of info there, some relevant, some not so relevant. But I was fascinated at what is possible with the whole AI and AI surveillance space. And he does an interesting chat with Mr. Liebenberg, who's an expert in that space, and it's really well worth it. Now, here's something else that may or may not affect you, but it's quite interesting what's going on. There's been some huge talk around the fact that vehicles are being stolen in South Africa and shipped across the border at scale, or people are bringing certain vehicles from places outside of South Africa into South Africa to sell cheap. So you find that in places like Japan, cars really exceed 4 years. At 4 years, people sell their cars and get new ones. The problem is that is happening at such a scale. There are tons of hardly used. 4 years old is not a particularly old for a car. In South Africa, the average age of a car is way in excess of 10 years, never mind 4 years. So those cars that are not designed for South African conditions, they might be the same model that you know that is sold in South Africa, but the shocks are not upgraded, the cooling systems are not the same. They get imported illegally into South Africa and sold at remarkably good pricing for whatever reason. Now, what has happened, and again, this is where technology gets involved. South Africa has switched on what is known as a mandatory digital system for foreign vehicles. So up to now, and since they introduced it wasn't terribly long ago, 39,000 registered vehicles have already been, foreign registered vehicles have been registered on the system. And it allows you at the border to simply declare that that car is coming in and when it will be leaving. And it's a fully digital declaration system. And it really makes it much simpler for the government, SARS, and of course, the police to check and to know what's going on. And it's all part of the standard customs and excise. You are supposed to declare vehicles when they come in, but it was paper-based. It was super clunky. It was definitely something that was a leaking hole in our platforms and systems. And now they've fully digitized it. It's quick. It's easy. It's very simple to implement. It's very easy to track. And it's all part of the whole digitization of customs, home affairs, and everything else that's going on. And I must say that, in general, the improvements around home affairs, the improvements around the SARS Mobi app and the SARS website, it's very, very, very encouraging to see that the sort of core delivery areas, I mean, no one likes to deal with SARS in general, but if it's going to be done correctly and cleanly and done through a very well-organized and structured tech platform, it certainly makes life a lot easier, makes things a lot simpler. You don't have mounds of paper and then somehow something didn't get processed and then you've got trouble. And, you know, once you have trouble, it's incredibly difficult to unwind or unravel that ball of string. So these new, the online traveler declaration, they've been doing things at the various airports in other ways from that point of view. It seems that they finally got their sort of strategy right within the technology serving the law rather than vice versa, and making sure that all these modernization efforts make your life simpler, make border crossings quicker and easier, and certainly stops a lot of these sort of crazy problems around stolen cars being shipped across or somehow landing up. There are other issues there because I think often they shouldn't be able to get out anyway, but that again is another story. So on that note, just to wrap up where we were in this show, the JBL Go 5, it's an affordable, durable, portable speaker and certainly can fit into anybody's life at a price that doesn't entirely break the bank. Siri AI is going to be way, way smarter than iOS in iOS 27. So on that note, that is our show today. I've been told my time is up. More gadgets, gizmos, and tech. Same place, same time, right here on Chai FM. This is Stephen Ambrose for Tech Talk.